Good morning again.
Good morning.
I remember as a kid having to get up in front of people to speak. I used to have to go throw up first. I can tell you nobody's throwing up as far as I know this morning. At this time, Taylor has a message. And I'm going to follow up with a message after that. So sit down and enjoy.
All right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good morning.
Today we're going to be talking about worship, okay? Do any of you guys have any experience with worship? Say yeah? That's probably a yes. Do any of you know kind of, what counts as worship? Does just being in the building when other people are singing, does that count as worship?
No.
No? Does that not count as worship? Does singing along when you're, if you're in your car or something, does that count as worship?
Yes.
Yeah? So today we're going to be talking about worship and kind of the different ways that you can worship. Worship is our response to God's awesomeness. So God is so great that he commands us to worship. It's not that he commands us to worship, is that his awesomeness commands us to worship. So a short definition on worship. To honor or show reverence for as a divine being or supernatural power. To regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. And that comes from Merriam-Webster. So basically what it's saying is just to lift something up to a higher level, right? To lift it up to a higher place than everything else in your life. Let's look at a couple great things that God's done, right? So Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, for one, let's look at the Grand Canyon. It's 277 miles long. It's up to 18 miles wide. In some places, it's greater than a mile deep. That's really big. I know that sounds just like a bunch of numbers on a screen, but that's really big. Victoria Falls, it's a waterfall in southern Africa believed to be the world's largest sheet of falling water with a width of 1,708 meters or 5,604 feet. That's nearly a mile. So if you think about that, that's about the length of system of a river falling all at the same time. That's hard for me to imagine how much water that is, how much energy is happening just at that one time, every second, for years and years and years, always falling and probably going to fall for many, many more years. The last one we're going to look at is aurora, sometimes referred to as polar lights or northern lights. It's particles from the sun impacting our atmosphere, creating an amazing show of lights. So the sun, I don't know if you guys know, it's kind of a big bomb, right? It's full of heat and explosions, and it's just very big and hot. And so that creates basically what are they're called electromagnetic particles, right? So those come towards us, and they're harmful, right? We could die if those got to us, but our atmosphere is built just perfectly to keep those from getting to us. And in that process, when those interact with each other, that creates what we call, the Northern Lights, right? So even in danger, protecting us from danger, God is creating art. So God takes something that's dangerous to us, and he creates art. So, take something bad, and he's able to turn that into something greater. If our worship is for the one true God, we should worship God without worrying about what other people say or other people think. We should never be thinking, I don't want to put my hands up because I'm scared somebody's going to make fun of me or something like that, right? So we're going to read a little passage about David here. David again brought together all the able young men of Israel, 30,000. He and all his men went to Baal in Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim on the ark. So this is the Ark of the Covenant, right? So a long time ago, Moses went up on the mountain. God gave him the Ten Commandments, and they put this in this big box, right? And so this is their connection to God. This is what God told them. This is the direct word of God written down, and it's in this ark. And so the power of God is in this ark. They set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, son of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart, with the ark of God on it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and all of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord in castanets, harps, lyres, timbrels, sistrums, and cymbals. So basically, what happened is, a long time ago, Philistines took the ark, so the Israelites took the Ark of Covenant into battle, and the Philistines won, and they took back the ark. And they held it for, you know, I think 20-something years, and they kept getting plagues. You know, all these bad things were happening, so they sent the ark away. So the ark went back to Israel, but it wasn't back in the capital. It wasn't back where it was supposed to be. So finally, you know, the ark has been gone from the temple for close to 100 years. So they're coming back, and they're all celebrating, right? You know, David's celebrating. Everybody's celebrating because they're finally bringing back this thing that they had lost. So, you know, think about, like, this was their word of God. So if we lost the Bible right now, like, if the Bible was taken away for 100 years where we couldn't touch it, we couldn't react with it, then all of a sudden we got that back, just imagine. I think all of us would be pretty happy about that, even those of us who maybe don't even read the Bible. You know, you realize that you want something when you don't have it. When David returned home to bless his household, Micah, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls, all his servants, as any vulgar fellow would. So basically, David was out celebrating, right? He was worshiping God in his way that he knew how, right? He was dancing around. He was just showing his love and appreciation for God. And his wife came out and said, you know, you can't do that. You're the king. You're supposed to be different than everybody else, right? So you can't just celebrate and dance around and do whatever you want to worship, right? Because she's saying that you're special, you're different. David said to Michael, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house. When he appointed me a ruler over the Lord's people, Israel, I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." So David's saying, I know what I'm doing, right? I know that worship is good. Worship is never going to be bad in the eyes of God. So you're worshiping God. He's saying, it doesn't matter what you say, right? Because God deserves my worship, so I'm going to worship him all of the time, right? And it doesn't matter how I worship. It just matters that I'm worshiping. Worship can come in many different forms. You know, there's many types to worship. Some people raise their hands in worship. Some people cry during worship. Some people dance during worship. Some people smile during worship. Some people laugh during worship. Some people run around during worship. No, we would never do that, would we, Grandma Marilyn? Would we? Sure, okay. You know, worship could also be serving other people, right? Because we always talk about, like, musical worship. You know, when we say we're going to go worship today, a lot of us, we're talking about, you know, we're going to go sing or play instruments, and you're going to sit here, and worship team's going to go do that, right? That's not always worship. Worship isn't confined to just those things, right? There's a quote from Billy Graham. He says, "The highest form of worship is the worship of unselfish Christian service." He's saying the highest way that you can show your love for God is to serve somebody else like he's serving you, right? It's to, you know, one could say, like, to almost bring yourself down lower and serve somebody else, right? Even if, you know, whatever that ends up being, if you go work at a food pantry or something like that, right? You're taking yourself from something that you would normally be doing, normally be up here, and you're bringing yourself down to serve these people, right? So you're serving these people that you care about. And that's an amazing type of worship. However, music and song are special. Next to the word of God, music deserves the highest praise. The gift of language combined with the gift of song was given to man that he should proclaim the word of God through music. That comes from Martin Luther. I think he probably knew what he was talking about. You know, he's kind of, you know, that's Martin Luther. You know, he knows what he's doing. And he's just saying, there's nothing greater than music and language put together. Don't ever apologize for worshiping God. You should never be saying sorry for worshiping God. We all worship something, so why choose something that won't last? If that happens to be sports or TV or any hobbies that you happen to have, when you have the opportunity to worship our Creator and Savior. You know, so if you continually are putting something above God, you're worshiping that thing, right? Now, that's not saying that if you miss a couple Sundays because you're, you know, doing something else. That's not saying that you're worshiping that thing. That's just saying, it's just saying that if you put that thing above God, if you continually choose that thing over worshiping God, then you're worshiping that thing. And I don't know. I can't think of anything worse than worshiping something that's going to go away in not that long when you could worship God, right? Our Creator, our Savior. God is inside us, so we can worship Him anywhere we are. Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights should not be the only times that you worship God. Amen. Since God is inside you, we can worship Him anywhere, anytime, right? So He's inside of us. We can worship Him anywhere we want. We don't have to go to a temple or a church or something like that to worship God because He's part of us. So if we just take a couple minutes out of our day here and there, we can worship God. So there, it's just over 10,000 minutes in a week. And if we only worship what we worship here at the church, it's about an hour and a half. That's 90 minutes. 90 minutes over 10,000. And that's when we think we're doing good. You know, a lot of people would say we worship a lot here at this church, right? It's 90 minutes out of 10,000. I don't feel like we're worshiping that much, you know? We should be taking more time out of our week to devote to worship. You know, sometimes I strive to be like my sister. I don't know if I've ever heard her be quiet in my whole life. It's just, you know, she's always talking, she's always singing, you know. I rode into work with her once, and, you know, she's got the radio on, and she's singing along with it. And that's worship, right? Putting time to spend time with God is worship. You know, that could be singing, that could be praying, that could be serving. You know, whatever it is, devote your heart to God. Give your heart to God for a little bit each week. Try to make that a little better than 90 minutes. Try to wrap this up a little bit. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." If we don't worship, the rocks will do it for us. I think most of us in here are probably smarter than rocks. Amen. Most of us.
I hope so.
If we don't spend our time, if we don't give some time to God to worship, the rocks will do it for us. That's failure. We're failing if the rocks are crying out. I don't ever want to hear the rocks speak. I don't know about you. I don't ever want to hear rocks start talking. That would freak me out a little bit. You know, we need to spend time each and every day to devote some time to God, right? Those rocks shouldn't be making any noise. They shouldn't be. That's all I have for today.
So, yes, thank you very much, Taylor. Very good coming up here and speaking. I know that I couldn't have done that. I have a hard enough time doing what I'm going to do today, so it'll be hard for me to follow someone who did that good a job. Partnering with youth. This whole service is about the youth. They did a great job singing. They did a great job leading. They did a great job in the games.
Amen.
We had some really nervous people.
Amen.
Last Wednesday or two Wednesdays ago when we practiced, there was some very nervous people who said, we can't do it. They did a great job. Many of you don't know how many people get involved in running a church or an organization. We tried to get the kids involved in kind of in every area that we could this morning. We started out with making coffee this morning. Somebody comes in and makes coffee so that you have coffee at halftime. Puts out the donuts. We had a kid come in and help Sean with that. We had people greeting at the doors. We had people passing out the bulletins. They did a great job doing the music, doing the announcements, the offering. We didn't have anybody doing the nursery today, but normally there's somebody that does the nursery. We have people praying for others, not just during the service, before the service, after the service, the prayer teams will be coming up. We have people cleaning the church, washing out the coffee pots, cleaning the tables, putting everything away for the next service, or setting up for the service. Many of these things that we didn't have the kids do, such as getting ready for the recording of the message. It's recorded so you can listen to it if you're not here every week. Editing that message, making and folding the bulletins. Folding the bulletins is a big job, but the newsletter is what is a big job. I don't know how many newsletters get folded. I helped once. And there is a lot of folding and getting ready, organizing by zip code so they can go out in bulk mailing. So those of you who get the newsletter, there's a lot of work that goes into that, as well as the people who write and put their thoughts and messages in that. The different outreaches, Hope for the Hungry, very active in. The homeless camp, the food pantry, and keeping up just the website alone, keeping it current, are all areas and what the church people here are involved in. Something that I want you to dwell on is, this is from someone who is middle-aged, life is going well, she's put her faith in Jesus Christ as her Savior, but her kids are not all graduated yet. She has found out she has cancer this fall. Not just a little spot of cancer, but a lot of cancer. She's doing well, but this is a couple of things from her perspective that she put on Facebook that I want you to just look at and dwell on. The biggest lesson in life, don't ever think it cannot happen to you. If you're in, you know, her position, all of a sudden, one day you discover there's something wrong. And it could be devastating, for sure life-changing. Something else that she has posted. This is in three parts, but really focus on stuff. The truth is that all of the stuff here on earth we work so hard to buy and accumulate does not mean a thing. At the end of the day, people will be cleaning out your stuff, going through all of our stuff, figuring out what to do with all of our stuff. this stuff we've accumulated in our life, the only thing of value that remains are the memories and what we deposit into others. May we all learn to spend less time accumulating stuff and spend way more time making memories. When things happen, it really helps us focus on what's really important. It's not that all the stuff is bad, it's how we hold it and use it and value it. Our stuff, make sure that the stuff does not get in the way of our purpose here on earth. In Philippians 3:20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is another quote. Don't waste the pages in the book that you are writing with your life. That's by someone famous here at church. Marnie used that last Wednesday night with our youth, which is, I thought, was so appropriate that it needed to be shared. Don't waste your time on stuff that really doesn't matter. As a Christian, I'm always asking myself, is this worthwhile, or does it have a good enough purpose to waste my time or spend my time doing it? As we look at the youth, we have a great deal of talent coming up, as you can see this morning, as leaders for our future. I want to do some review now from last week's message. We want you to focus on partnering with us as a church and as a youth group. If you remember from last week, a partner has in mind the needs of others. A partner has a vision for the future. A partner understands and is energized by sacrifice. A partner is committed and faithful through the hard times. A partner asks, "What can I give?" A partner shares responsibilities and resources with other partners. Philippians 1, 4, and 5. In all my prayers for you, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm asking you to partner with the youth by leading by example. All of you are leaders that the youth are looking up to. In 1 Corinthians, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share this in this blessing. Making sure that the stuff does not get in the way of your blessing here on earth. Make sure that all the areas of your life are Christ-like, so that you can be an example to the youth. Next, we need to lead by example. In encouragement, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are already doing. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give you grace to those who hear. Come alongside the youth and lift them up and encourage them. Next, we need to give testimonies of what God has done for you. Let them be reminded, as in the Old Testament, when they would make pillars of stone for future generations so that they would not forget. Each one of you has a testimony. Make sure that you tell it. The youth need to hear about your life and what God has done for each one of you. I've told many of my stories or testimonies to the kids, but have they heard your testimonies and stories? No matter how good or bad your past has been, your testimonies can encourage them to be more like Christ through what you went through. To recap, look at life and what stuff is really important. Partner with us. We want you to lead by example. Be Christ-like in all that you do. Encourage, don't pull down others. In testimonies, use your past to teach them. Write it down for them so that they do not forget how Christ has intervened in your life. The last thing I want you to do is to partner with us in prayer for our youth, as Paul did for the Philippians. Philippians 1, 3, and 4. I thank God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy. Notice Paul said, every time I remember you, not just once, every time. So they were on his heart. He also said, in all my prayers, not just in one prayer. In all my prayers, continually be praying for our youth. Pray for them as Paul did. Will you join me now as we have the youth come forward and we pray for them, that our prayers would encourage them, that they would have our hands would be laid on them, that God might direct them, direct their paths, allow their lights to shine.